Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and good morning to another hour of discernment fellowship on Philippians 1 and 2. Today is March 20th, 2019. I'd like to start the broadcast with Psalms 70.
Psalm 70, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, to bring to remembrance. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, Let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying.
Good morning, Kevin.
Hi, Walt. Good morning to you.
Yeah. Well, you know, this morning I'd like to go back to just review just a couple passages in James. When we went through James, you know, there's a couple words there that came out to me, and one of them was engrafted, and the other one was referring to that we're not supposed to we're not supposed to idol or worship another man, and it's on verse, it's James chapter 1, verses 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. When it says the meekness of the engrafted word, I mean, that's referring to Jesus Christ, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because he is the revelator of God to man. But the word here, I believe, is the scriptures. Like David said, I've hid thy word in my heart that I not sin against thee. That, in a sense, that's engrafting the word into him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a word that I've read this chapter and probably went over it, you know, just went right over the top of it. In another verse I wanted is James 2:9. You know, it starts in that chapter, hearken, my beloved brethren, not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him, but ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But it's the next verse here now. But if we have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. now, isn't that referring to any time that we elevate another man? I think so. I mean, that's what, you know, are like 1 Corinthians, let no man deceive thy, 3:18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in the world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. You know, in what has gotten to me the last year, six months, you know. This is, I'm going to read one sentence that's on a book written by a man, and I'm going to ask you the question, you know, is it written? You know, it says the rabbi's secret plan for Satan to crush their enemies and vault the Jews to global dominion. Is that written any place in the Bible?
Yeah. Well, they exalted themselves, but God didn't exalt them.
Well, what I'm trying to say, in other words, in God, it's written in God's word. Is it written anywhere where the Jews are going to come to global dominion?
No, not as a nation. The Israel of God will have domination, you know, in the end. But yeah. not necessarily in this world. Yeah.
Well, because the reason I bring this up as an example, it doesn't matter who wrote it. It's so easy. It's so easy. And I think we, you know, let no man deceive you. It's in Ephesians 2. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The reason I bring this up is there's so many I'm seeing things that I never seen before. In other words, that this is right on the front cover of this book. I mean, if it's not written in this book, it's you know, I mean, it's real easy to get distracted.
For sure, yeah.
You know, anyway, that's because I see this as a weakness. And matter of fact, I was called on it many times, but I just the reading of men's books. And after I look back now, I realize that some of the newer books it seems that men are bolder and more. In other words, there's so much doctrine that's been written by a man, and after a while, after it goes to a Bible college and a seminary, it becomes vocal in our culture. Well, because I've had to take another look at all the books I've got here, and there's some of these books that you can really waste your time, you know.
Well, you could have a big bonfire like they did in the Book of Acts when they burned all their artifacts and their, you know, books on sorcery and whatever else they had.
Like sorcery, I don't think there's been a culture that's been attacked more with because they got the tool, and the tool of the magic lantern. In other words, they got the tool of the video and to be able to put an image in front of a man and words with it.
Yeah, right.
That I'm not trying to say this to change things, but we have to be able to identify. We have to be identified and move on. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there are those that say that Christians should study the occult and learn all about the ways of Satan. But my feeling is we should study to show ourselves approved before God to know the truth, because the more light we have, the quicker we will discern the darkness. It'll just be, you know, black and white to us. So we won't have to study Satan's ways. We will just know by the illumination that the Holy Spirit gives us of such light and truth that we won't be bothered by it.
And I kind of, what you just said is the brighter the bulb, the faster you'll see through it.
I believe that.
I'm just going to use an example. Like when I was out in the truck from 1991 to 2001, you know, I didn't know what Freemasonry was. But I'm not going to criticize another brother or somebody. I'm not going to get into it, you know. But for myself now, remember it was the end of James yesterday? I mean, the more I know what Freemasonry is, I don't need to read another book on Freemasonry.
It's demonic powers that are very powerful. You know, it took Gabriel fighting the Prince of Persia with Michael. We withstood him how many days? 21 days or something. In other words, it took two archangels to fight the Prince of Persia in the Book of Daniel. So, I mean, and that was just the prince of Persia. That wasn't Satan himself. That was one of his, appointed angels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I guess that's why, we have the first, the five chapters of James. Though that was written for the church, and those you can see what the attack that we're under. In other words, it's sorcery, and the only way you can counter it is with God's word. I mean, once you understand some of this, you can spend hours. And I've spent hours reading these read some of these books. I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
Gary made a statement last week. You know, some of the books that I keep are are ones that are written by scholars. You know, and every one of the reformers, were scholarly, and when they got a hold of the Bible for the first time, and it's like J.A. Wiley, and some of the history, some of our authors in the 1800s and stuff. But today, it's so prevalent now in books. I mean. And especially when you get to Revelations, it's a million-dollar business writing.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. It's, yeah. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. That was. I appreciate your counsel and just your because I looked at that and I said to myself, that's when that statement says the rabbi's secret plan for Satan to crush their enemies and vault the Jews to global dominion. There's no Bible in that. I can't see anything where you could even hint to a scripture.
Yeah, right.
So it's when you see a title like that, it's time to. You don't need to know what's inside.
And they're only gonna do what God gives them to do anyway. So it all comes from the Lord, and He's working out His purposes. He chooses the basest of men to rule, the worst of men to rule. So there you go. You know. But our life is hid in Christ. We don't have to be concerned about what's going on out there because Satan is raising all the hell he can. But it's all by the direction of the Lord. I mean, he's in control of Satan. Satan isn't independent of God.
Because in chapter 3, verse 16, you know, where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And there's so much confusion because of all the deception, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we just have to dwell on things above and not on things below. You know, just,
and if it isn't written, it's not written.
Yeah, right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Like the song says, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Behold his glorious face. Yeah, just then we can walk on water. We're like Peter walking on water. Because you got to walk on water in this life. Otherwise, you're going down. You know, the Lord will pick you up if you're his. But, you know, we dare not look at the choppy sea around us for very long.
Well, that's a comparison. That is exactly, you know, we've got to be able to walk on water now because.
Amen.
That's
right.
That's a good example. Good example.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
We're going to Philippians. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 15, I'm going to key up.
Okay.
The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Philippians, Chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ out of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill.
Yeah, Paul's sufferings, all the things he endured, were to strengthen the brethren as they were encouraged to go forward themselves. Like Paul didn't take any stipend or any pay from the church. He didn't ask for anything. He just knew how to abase and abound. And there were those that, I guess the Philippians were greatly contributing to his ministry. Yeah. But others didn't. Yeah. Go ahead.
Could you add anything? Good morning. Good morning, John. Kevin, could you
good
add
morning,
any more about a little bit of about the Philippians?
I don't even know where they are on the map. So, but John probably does. I'm sorry, I don't know.
No, in the back of this my Bible, I do have a little. I was going to see what it said, you know.
Yeah.
You got a comment, John?
I don't know much about the Philippians. I know that a lot of those churches are in the area of Turkey. I was just going to make a comment about Philippians 4:8. You know, we're to keep ourselves, you know, thinking of the good things, the things above. Philippians 4:8 is quite fitting, you know, because if Jesus Christ were to come right now, this is how we would want to, you know, to look to Christ. Like, you want me to read Philippians 4:8?
Oh, go ahead.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. This is the picture that we may want, you know, this is how we want to behave, you know, how we want to be behaving when Christ finally shows up, you know, this would be our ultimate goal.
Yeah, amen, that's right.
You know, would God be pleased with us when he comes back, or would he be ashamed of us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right, because the saints can be in sin when Christ returns. That's right. Didn't he praise the Philippians for the generosity they showed toward him? I think is that the passage where it says that our God will supply all of your needs according to the riches and glory of Christ Jesus?
Well, in verse 27, too, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel.
Yeah. That's why it's important that we fellowship. Because the scripture says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves with one another, as the manner of some is, but all the more because the evil day approaches. Well, the evil day is here, you know, and it gets worse every day. So we really need to be in communion with the God-fearing people.
Yeah. Because this is an unusual conversation. I mean, a gathering, you know, to be where Christ is the center.
Mm. Well, yeah, this is the heavenly prayer, the new language that they speak in Mark 16. Yeah. They speak in new tongues. You know.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to key up 16 to 30, the finish of chapter 1. Mm-hmm.
The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me.
Well, I love that verse 29, where it says, "For unto you it is given." And I recall that Jesus saying that to you it has been given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so this verse says it's given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him. So it has been given to us to believe, not that we chose to believe on our own. And that kind of fits with Acts 13:48, when the Gentiles heard Paul preaching, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So it was given to them to believe, and in time they would. That's what I see in that. Mm-hmm. And then to suffer for his sake. Where in the churches do you hear the talk about the saints suffering? You know, it's all about health, wealth, and prosperity. And no suffering in the message we hear today. Mm-hmm. And what is the suffering? Well, the suffering is in our flesh because we die to ourselves and that hurts. But also the persecution we endure. And perhaps even our family splitting up over it, you know. So we suffer for his sake.
Mm-hmm. You can help me with this too, Kevin. It also, Christ says, we'll have our biggest temptations within the family.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but the reward is great.
Amen.
If you read Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation, unto eternal life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
The reward is far greater than any suffering that we may endure.
Mm-hmm. So
we'll have our best after instead of now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the wicked are having their heaven on earth. And we're having our hell on earth and our heaven later. Praise the Lord. Now, there's something else that struck me when we were reading earlier about Paul in 15. He says, some preach Christ even in envy and strife, and some of goodwill. In 16, the one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. So he rejoices that Christ is being spoken of by the saved and the unsaved. Because when he says not sincerely, verse 16, in other words, it's being preached in hypocrisy, but nevertheless, the truth of Christ is being spoken. So God uses unsaved people to give us a message that the elect will pick up on and be saved by it.
It also seems to be imposing extra bondage on people. Supposing to add affliction to my bond, is that imposing works on people?
I don't know. I don't see clearly that last part of that verse.
Yeah.
To add affliction to my bonds. I don't know. I don't see it. Of course, I could read a commentary and then it would probably come to me right away. You know, so sometimes that happens. You know. Yeah.
You know the word in 20 is the word boldness. Nothing shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness. And it reminds me of the boldness is used twice in the full armor of God, you know.
Well, yeah, because we're not given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So we are bold. And we want to be careful how we use that, because we can offend the unbeliever, and he can bring untold damage unto ourselves. So we have to be careful. Because we're really about the enlightening of God's people when we meet them, you know, bringing light or sharing the light that they already have, you know.
Yeah, in essence, that light is truth, you know, the truth, which is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
If I can, in 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Yes. Yeah. And some of the brethren are suffering far worse than we are in this country. You know. And so we do pray for the body of Christ worldwide. And isn't it interesting, as we grow more mature in the faith, we pray for others. We don't pray so much for ourselves, because we know that everything that's coming to us is going to come. I mean, we know that God has a wonderful plan for our lives, but it's wonderful because it's all working for our good. But he gives it to us all in measure. So we don't pray so much for ourselves, but we do pray for others. But a baby in Christ, he's saying, Lord, give me this, give me that. Oh, I need this. Oh, I need that. Yeah.
No, Kevin, I that's what's been put on my heart too, is as I move around, whether it's somebody in the secular world, I know they're in a battle, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I know they're in a battle, and they're not, as aware of some of the things that are going on.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah.
No, that's the same thing with me. Yeah. I you know, I've got a shelter, and I got running water. I mean, I don't have any means, any, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of sometimes, you know, and it said back in James, you know, about the, it's talking about the poor. It sometimes it's chilling to think that if I bought a lotto ticket and won, you know, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sometimes money is kind of like a noose around your
mm-hmm.
neck, you know.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. Well, if we realize that God gave us the money, and then we pray that He'll show us how to spend it. You know.
That's yeah.
Yeah, what to do. But, you know.
No, I agree with you. My prayers are, I was blessed yesterday. One of my neighbors brought by a 8 to 10 pound steelhead, and I went down to my mechanics,
cool.
and we cut it up, and I had fish last night.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
and that's the first thing I thought. It was, what a blessing. I mean, it was delivered right to my door, you know.
Really? Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Well.
Yeah.
Well, we all have our stories of how God intervenes in our life. He lets us see a glimmer of the fullness and the riches of the glory that is ours in Christ.
Okay, I'm going to key up chapters 2 to 1 to 15.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
Hmm. So he says, work out your own salvation. You know, some people have a problem with that because it sounds like we're working our salvation. But he says, work out your own salvation. So you own it. You possess it. It's yours. You have it. Now get through it. That's the way I see that.
Well, I find this verse 10 kind of interesting. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I'm sure the rich man in hell in Luke 16, I'm sure he was on his knees. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every knee will bow. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God's going to get the glory. One way or the other. You either bow here and now, or you're going to be bowing later in hell. Yeah. And that was the verse in Matthew 21:44 that Jesus said, he that falls on me will be broken, but he that I fall upon, I will grind him to powder. So I knew that I had to bow to Christ in this life, or I'd be bowing for him being ground to powder in the lake of fire. So that's the fight was over. When I realized that, the struggle within me to resist drawing, it came to an end. At least in principle. But in practice, it took a while to understand what was required of me as a Christian. And I tempted the Lord, and I tried, as a child will, to get out from under his parents' control. But the Holy Spirit graciously chastised me and just brought me and taught me along the way. And I thank God for where I am today. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
In what you said earlier about prayer, find yourself praying for others. It's verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. You know, when I was out in the truck, I had about 15 verses written on little yellow papers and sticker. I still got them here. They followed me all the way, you know, and that was one of the verses that grabbed me. And I wasn't very good at memorization, but I did, at one time I did know that by heart.
Which one?
Go ahead.
Was it Matthew 21:44?
No. I was talking on chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
you know.
Right.
And it's just something you have to remind yourself continually. You know. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Yeah, not to get puffed up with the knowledge that God gives us. You know, Paul said that he was afflicted in the flesh for the many revelations that were given to him. And we don't know how much we need to be afflicted to keep us humble, that we not be exalted, because we have great revelation given to us as teachers in the church. And so, you know, the Lord knows what we need. And we have to pray that he not abase us, as he's well able to do, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to key up 2 Philippians 16 through 30.
Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministereth to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me.
Wow, that's a stinging rebuke.
Yeah.
That's a stinging rebuke. But look at verse 20 when he says, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." I mean, even at that time, in the early church with Paul, there were those that were with him, but they were there for the wrong reasons and hanging on and thinking more of themselves than the others. And so Paul says, "There's only one that I have." Man. Well, that's true with the labor of the ministry. To find a faithful one is very difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. Read chapter 3, the first 4 verses. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. We are the circumcised which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm war. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee.
Yeah, he said elsewhere, as counting the law, I was flawless, you know. So he was a very strict religious man, looking to the flesh to justify him. And then he found out that justification was by faith alone in Christ. Praise the Lord. Yeah, beware of the concision, the Judaizers.
But what things were gained to me, those I counted a loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those which are behind and reaching forth into the things which are before. Towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In verse 13, is he's referring to not being looking. I do forgetting those things which are behind, or things of the past. Is that how I interpret that?
Oh,
look,
yeah,
ahead,
that's the way
and
I
behind.
See that.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, because mm-hmm. there's so much behind us that we could be grieving, we could be sad about it. You know, what if I had done this, or I should have done that. Yeah, there's plenty that we could, condemn ourselves for from our past. But we're to look forward. All things have become new, and old things have passed away, as Scripture says. So let them pass away. Yeah.
And it was a verse, and was it Matthew, too, about not to look behind the plow?
Oh, yeah. Once you've set your hand to the plow and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there are a lot of people that live their present life from past imaginings, you know, of how they were hurt and how they were mistreated. Okay, you were. Okay. Now, what does God say about you now as a child of God? You know, you're a new creature. You're a new creation. So let the thoughts of the past go, because it's unfruitful to dwell on them.
Mm-hmm.
The old saying, you can't cry over spilt milk.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's right.
Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many will walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ.
Right.
Whose end is destruction.
Like
mm-hmm. Go ahead, Kevin. Go ahead.
Well, in verse 12, it says, either we're already perfect. So he says, not as though I had already attained or already perfect, but that's in his aspirations of what he would want to attain, you know, in his Christian life. But positionally, spiritually speaking, he is perfect. I like that verse in Hebrews. It says, by one offering, he has perfected forever those that are sanctified. In other words, God's people have been made perfect by Christ in his work for them, in their behalf. So they are perfect. In this life, we are to strive for perfection, which we never attain to in this life. But and we fall far short of it. But we are to aspire to it. As Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, we're never going to be perfect in our flesh, but we are perfect in our spirit, in the new man that's created in Christ Jesus. And that's why it's so important that when we do fall as Christians into sin, and we lament our serious condition and how miserably we failed our Lord, we need to focus on what does God say about us for eternity. And that's because grace overcomes our sin no matter how bad it is. So we need to focus on that. Praise the Lord. Well, it looks like John, is he still with us?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, John.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the more that we're aware of Christ, the less we want to be in this body.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So Walt, do you have anybody to fellowship with up there where you are? Yeah. Any Christians?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I got Carol. Carol
yeah,
and Craig.
Yeah, okay.
And,
okay, great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And
very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Chris told me he had one brother that he knew up there where he is.
Yeah.
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 So. Yeah, there are not too many. I only have Gary. Gary's the only one I have down here. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking that today because, you know, we got to be thankful for what we do have. But
amen, amen.
You know, and another thing too, you can a lot of envy and strife can be stirred up on a telephone on a social media platform like this. You know.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think the only answer to it is prayer, you know.
Yeah, right.
Because,
right.
Yeah.
Well, when people get contentious, they're thinking more of satisfying the argument to their favor, and they insist on that. Therefore, you have to go down so they can come up. And that's just a violation of the verse we just read about esteeming others more than yourself. You know, but some people don't do that.
You know, when you have this fresh in mind, then when you get a chance to talk to somebody, you get a chance to listen. And not to have a pity party for one, you know, it's easy to have a pity party for yourself, but no, you know, the same thought came to me yesterday, you know, it would be nice to sit across the table from everybody that's in this room and with a Bible the thing of it is with social media and like myself, you know, being older, I'm not as I miss that fellowship, that being able to talk to somebody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course we got a generation of people that walk around with a box and run into cars and everything else because, it's I don't like to use words from the world, you know, but we're living in a very dysfunctional culture, you know.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's you know, you can't change it. So let's put a smile on our face and love in our heart and
right.
You know, and I was, and like yesterday I got that fish, and
praise
it came
Lord.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah,
all it was a little honk at the gate. And I got an 8 to 10 pound steelhead.
That's wonderful.
Three dinners, and the fellow that helped me cut it up, he's got three dinners.
Yeah,
you can get it. Yeah, you know,
wonderful. That's good.
Yeah.
How about you, John? John, do you have any fellowship where you are in Canada?
Just my wife.
My, isn't that something? Wow. All right. Well, we pray for reformed fellowship for you. Yeah.
I used to know an older man that used to be a Catholic, you know, a Christian man, but at the beginning of 2016.
Yes,
I believe that he understood a lot of the gospel.
Okay.
Well, it's the top of the hour, brothers, sisters, and we'll finish. Philippians. You know, I'm always open to where we want to go next. You know, or anybody's got some. You know, we don't have to read it cover to cover, but
right.
You know, we could these are real short books here, and I was thinking about doing Colossians next, you know, just keep on Colossians, and that's a short one too. So anyway, you know, I'm kind of glad you brought that up, Kevin, because I was kind of having a pity party thinking about it. You know, there's a, you know, I mean, in other words, when you go out in the world, you know, you have to speak you have to speak a little different language, you know.
Yeah. Or not at all.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. In most cases, you do the best by being a good listener.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Because people in their heart, you know, they really want to communicate. Sometimes, other times they've completely shut down and they live in a fantasy world on their internet. But some people, they do have a lot of questions that they'd like to see what other people think about the answers. And that's where we come in, you know, but we have to be very patient and we have to be quick to hear them so that we know how to speak to them. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think, to the second thing is I've noticed a difference the last couple of weeks, you know, of, just, you know, having an hour, you know, you know, just reading God's word and meditating on it and commenting on it, you know.
Yes. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And
well, we pray that your listeners will be blessed.
Or well, it does you know, every broadcast that we have, you know, and for people that are listening, you know, to listen to the broadcast, you can call in on 646-564-9865. Or you can you know, you can go, they can go to the archives and and listen in the archives, and they can listen live too. They don't have to call in; they can call in on the archives when it's before the broadcast starts.
Sure.
And okay. I'm gonna. Anybody? Any closing comments, John or Kevin?
No. Thanks for what you're doing.
Well, okay. Well, thanks for brothers for being here. Because today, when I started, there was Carol was here, and you know, and, but you know, I don't listen. Everybody that listens, I don't take you for granted because you know I don't. We're not going to be the most popular social media platform, you know, because of the content.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Walt. I would ask Carol if she'd like to speak at all, because this isn't a formal assembly where she would be required to be silent, and she would understand that. But this is an informal Bible study, and, you know, the women need to be talking and getting answers and sharing, you know, what they see in the Word. It's an encouragement to us and to them. So I would pray that she would enter into our discussions.
Well, we have two sisters listening right now, and I agree. Carol's kind of satisfied in listening, but. I mean, I know she'd like to join in too, you know, if she had it, you know. So
at least the invitation is out there. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. We'll have a good day today and keep a smile on your face and love in your heart. And I'll see you. We'll see each other tomorrow at 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Thank you.
Take care, brother.
All right. Bye, John.